Theo Padnos is someone else with direct experience of Syria's war. He's a journalist and for almost 2 years was held captive by Jabhat al-Nusra, an al-Qaeda affiliate. He was released in August 2014. A documentary about his ordeal is coming out next month. It's called Theo Who Lived. Theo Padnos is pleased to see the ceasefire holding in parts of Syria, but he sees little buy-in to the process from the Syrians he's in touch with on the ground. Padnos says the process of identifying so-called moderate rebel groups is a tricky proposition.
I know hundreds of Jabhat al-Nusra members who would be delighted to present themselves as moderates to the U.S. government or to whoever else is handing out weapons. You know, they're extraordinarily capable and good talkers, and if a gun is in the works, they're going to say what they have to say to get the gun, and then those guns are going to be used against, well, God knows who. A weapon entitles you to status in the culture at the moment. It entitles you to followers if you have enough of a weapon. Like the thing that everybody wanted when I was there was a Dushka. It means a little soul. It's a Russian, like 50 caliber machine gun that you can sometimes shoot down airplanes with. Now, a person who has this is entitled to a certain degree of latitude. Like nobody can really tell them what to do. And they want more and more and more of these things. The more guns they have, the more followers they have. So their agenda with that gun is up to them as soon as we give it to them.
It sounds like what you're saying is that when Syrians claim allegiance to groups, these extremist groups, that allegiance is pretty fluid. Am I wrong?
That's right. I mean, it depends on who has the falafel in the kitchen today and who has the bullets for that guy's gun today. And, you know, maybe tomorrow the next guy in the next kitchen has a better falafel. That's how it works. It's like I can be your friend today, but tomorrow maybe not. And really, I'm going to be looking out for my own interests, which is quite reasonable. These people have families to protect. They have, you know, their own survival to be concerned with. And I think that when we negotiate with commanders, we don't always know who they are commanding, and they themselves don't always know.
Give us an example, maybe something that you saw of this allegiance shifting.
For instance, my group, Jabhat al-Nusra, many of the commanders have younger brothers. Those people are soldiers. When ISIS came into the area in which I was held prisoner for a year, Deir ez-Zor, they would try to seduce the younger brothers away from the elder brothers so that the families would be divided. There would be half of the family on Jabhat al-Nusra, half of the family on ISIS, and the project of the two groups was to kill each other. You know, it was quite insane, but this is how the allegiances can slide. These labels mean more to us than they mean to the people on the ground.
Are you still in touch with people in Syria, specifically the people who held you captive?
Yes.
How
we
do
chat
this conversation?
On Facebook. We chat on any social media
and
app.
And what do you chat about?
How's it going, man? What's going on? What happened to Abu Hamza? Where's he these days? Oh, he got martyred. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
The people who held you captive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of them, I mean, I want to say, like, good luck to that guy because he was nice to me. And some of them I want to say, I never liked that guy. I'm interested in what is happening inside the jihad in Syria.
Yeah, what are they telling you? What is happening now? Are they confident about their future?
In pain, and the jihad people are suffering. I talk to the regime people every day. They're suffering too.
Theo, before you go, I'd really like you to leave us with an anecdote, a sketch of someone perhaps that you met or maybe somebody you even still communicate with in Syria who just kind of illustrates the moral complexity of what's going on.
Sure. Thank you. That's a good question. I'm in touch with a fellow prisoner who is now living in the Islamic State. I don't know what his role is in this Islamic State.
Okay.
This guy was a Jabhat al-Nusra commander who had been imprisoned by his own colleagues because he was suspected of wanting to defect to ISIS.
And you knew him?
He was in my cell.
And today he is in the Islamic State fighting for ISIS?
He appears to be in a position of authority within that organization. And what he wants to do at this point is to help the civilians. Perhaps he's also killing civilians. I don't know. But there are some civilians he wants to help. Now, I think this is the case with all sides. They want to help their own civilians. And they want to kill the other people. If we give him a ton of Band-Aids, I think he'd give them out. I think we should cultivate that side to this guy. Rather than just bombing him to death, because where this guy came from, there are 10,000 more. There are 100,000 more.
Theo Padnos, thanks very much for coming into the studio.
Thank you very much.
Journalist Theo Padnos was held captive by Jabhat al-Nusra, an al-Qaeda affiliate, for almost 2 years. He was released in 2014.